This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, it's Arvind Yuvraj on Open for Business. And on today's show, we're going to be talking about a boutique brand for pet products called Taming Wild. It's a venture that I've wanted to have on the show for a while now because I've seen their name pop up a bunch of times on pet advocacy groups and rescue groups. And it's not exactly a pet store per se, which means that it has a very unique niche carved out for itself, which is what I wanted to get into on today's show. Taming Wild's founder, Eng Yi Won, is joining us virtually via Zencaster. Hey Yi Won, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's start with a bit of backstory. Like, how did Taming Wild come about? Like, what made you want to open a pet shop? Or not really a pet shop, more like a boutique pet care store.
Yeah, so I actually have been wanting to start something that is pet related since I first had my pet. His name is Brown. So then after that, I started working in a company, in a media company. So that dream was like kind of put on hold. But every time when I'm working, you know, I feel like I'm not contributing to the animal's welfare and all that. So one day I just decided to jump into it, just start doing it and not wait anymore. So the idea was born to actually bridge the gap between human and animals through lifestyle products. And we are trying to, what Taming Wild is trying to do, it's not just to sell products, it's also to build a community of people who care for pets and try to influence others to also, look at animals in a different way.
I'll come back to the community part a bit because that's quite interesting. But what do you mean by lifestyle products? Like, how is that different from, let's say, your normal pet store with that sells things for, you know, for pet care supplies and stuff?
Yeah, so our lifestyle products are like handmade beds, they are bowls, collars, toys, stuff like that. So non-food items.
No food items?
Yeah, non-food items. I make them myself. Yeah, some of it is I make it myself. So I actually want, because I see like some pet stuff, it's very, when you put it at home, you know, you can see that it's very, doesn't go well with the home decor. So that's why like we want it to kind of blend in with the house decor as well. So our designs are normally very simple, plain and contemporary. So, you know, it's like the pet is part of the family. So the product also should be like that.
So what you said, you were working in a media company before this.
Yes.
And your website, it says that you left your previous job and then started this venture. Was that an easy decision? Like, is this something that you always wanted to do, like run a boutique pet store?
Oh, it was not easy, of course, because when you work for a company, you have a stable income. But it was also very stressful. Like every day when I don't feel like going to work, you know. So I tell myself, if I don't start it now, then when I'm gonna start this? So I decided to just register a company and then just go with it. It has always been something that I wanted to do that is pet related. But I didn't know what to do with it. Like if I want to start a pet hotel or sell food or sell shampoo, you know, stuff like that. But I only discovered along the way, like after I started Taming Wild. So at first, I also just get stocks from local suppliers. But then along the way, I decided to just make the things myself.
Where did you learn how to make the things yourself?
I just learned it from YouTube. Yeah, you can learn a lot of stuff from YouTube. Yeah.
Why the name Taming Wild though?
Yeah, I knew you asked that. So Taming Wild is actually, so when I was young, right, I wasn't actually an animal lover. Yeah, so I would say my pet tamed me.
Brown.
Yeah, Brown. And also from him, I learned how to see like, oh, okay, animals are actually, he knows his name, he has feelings and all this. That's when I started to, love animals.
And Brown is a dog.
Yeah, he's a dog. He's a poodle.
He's a poodle. Okay, okay.
Yeah, he was with, for me from my parents because I was the only child. So he's supposed to keep me company.
That's cute. Okay. Can I ask you something if you don't mind? So running a business is not easy, and it's a lot harder now with the pandemic. Do you ever wish that you had the stability of a 9-to-5 again? Like, is that something that ever crosses your mind or no?
No, actually, because I didn't like what I was doing. It was very stressful, and I felt like, how to say, when I was working, you know, I get exposed to news like, oh, these animals get abandoned somewhere. And as a person, I feel like I couldn't do much. So when I started taming wild, I felt like I can contribute more, as in like assist by getting pets adopted. Like recently we rescued these sporo cats. From there, we can actually, a lot of people didn't know about sporo cats until they followed Taming Wild, and then because we keep talking about it, so they learn about sporo cats, and they tell us that they now they know how to look at sporo cats now, and then rescue them and get them help. So it was quite a rewarding experience for me, lah.
So you touched on this a bit previously, but you know, but besides the fact that you love pets, what gap in the market were you tackling with Taming Wild? Because, you know, like I mentioned before, there are hundreds of pet stores. What is that unique gap that you were tackling with Taming Wild specifically?
I would say we are not just selling stuff to the customers. I would say some of our customers are actually rescuers also. So sometimes they will ask us for advice, like what to do with the pets that they rescued. Then we will help them with that, like assist them to post it up. Also because we donate like a percentage of our sales to help the rescues.
So that's what I wanted to actually touch on, because you know, you're also part of the animal rescue community. I've seen Taming Wild's name pop up a bunch of times, and you donate a portion of your revenue to charity, right? So who are the people that you work with, and how do you decide the amount, the cut that you give to charity after you make your sales?
So we work with Voice for Paws. We work very closely with Voice for Paw, and also my mom, she's a feeder as well. I can help her to buy food for the strays. And we work closely with people that we know. And we prefer to give it direct, to work directly with the vet. So say if this person need funds, then we will work directly with the vet so that we can donate directly to the vet.
How do you verify? Like, how do you like go to, let's say, a place like Voice for Paws? I know they are genuine and legit, and they do some like really good work. But let's say, how do you verify if someone actually needs help? Because there are a lot of people also abuse that platform. So how do you know for sure?
It's very hard to tell, honestly. So we just work with a few people, like Voice for Paws, and then my own mother and our own rescues with the vet that we know.
Yeah, because it's tough to say who is telling the truth and who's not, right? It's just, you just have to follow your gut.
Yeah, that's right. So sometimes when these people approach us, what we do is we just guide them. Like if say they need funds, we do get people asking us for funds. So we will tell them like, you know, maybe you can sell some stuff to raise funds. We advise them stuff to do. So we don't give them the funds directly.
So when you first started this about 3 years ago, at what point did you decide, or did you know that this could be like a viable business? Because you have to hit like a certain sales per month or certain kind of revenue to support yourself, to support the business. When did you know that this could be a full-time thing?
I would say last year, during the MCO.
Oh, wow, okay.
Because before that, it was a bit hard. There were a few times that I wanted to give up also. Luckily, my husband told me not to give up. You know, he asked me to just continue doing it. I mean, you don't build Rome in a day. So,
yes.
Yeah. So that's why I started last year. I tried to make some of the products myself. And then I noticed like, oh, people actually appreciate handmade stuff compared to stuff that you can find in the pet store.
Okay, there's so much more that I want to talk about, but we'll need to take a break to get some messages in. I'm speaking to Yiwon. She is the founder of Taming Wild, which is a boutique store for handmade pet products. Open for business. We'll be back in a bit. BFM 89.9.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And we're back on Open for Business. This is Arvin and I'm joined today by Yiwon. She's the founder of Taming Wild. And we're talking about the kind of niche that the boutique pet product brand is carving out for itself. What is the long-term potential for a boutique pet store like Taming Wild? Like, is a brick-and-mortar outlet in the plans, or, you know, are you just focusing on ramping up the online side of things?
I guess for now, it's just online. Yeah, we don't have plan to open, like, a brick-and-mortar yet. I guess because we don't find that necessary right now. I mean, we wouldn't go to brick-and-mortar, but what we'll do is we probably will sell some items at those boutique shops. Because we have like boutique shops that approach us to sell some of our items as well.
Okay, interesting. So yeah. that's the way that you want to focus on now. So not like a physical outlet anytime soon.
Yeah, that's right.
How do you promote like Taming Wild? Like what is your, like do you do like social media advertising, or how do you get the word about Taming Wild out there?
Yeah, glad you asked that, because I didn't, even though it was from media background, but mm-hmm. I didn't buy advertisements for Taming Wild.
Okay.
So I wanted to grow the fans organically in a way I feel like it's better, so I can see how, what's my potential like. I'm quite happy lah, like managed to grow to 1,000 plus just mm-hmm. organically. And I think it's mostly through word of mouth, you know, like we build relationship with our customers and then they will tell other people. It's a small community actually, so most pet owners knows each other. And also we voice for paws. Mm-hmm. So they also help us to, they also help to promote.
And you ship nationwide, right?
Yeah, we're actually doing it. We are now shipping nationwide. I mean, worldwide, yeah.
So speaking about e-commerce, how do you handle competition in the market though? Because like physical pet stores is one thing, so that's a whole other thing. There are some big names in that market, but the online pet supply scene is also quite like insane, because especially with products from China flooding like e-commerce websites, how do you stand out? Like, do you focus on your branding? How do you like, you know, secure a customer base on these platforms?
Yeah. So actually, especially during the, since the MCO started last year, we see more and more this online pet shop blooming also. Mm-hmm. I guess people are trying to earn a living as well. So most of them, they actually get their stocks from China suppliers. But for us, we focus more on handmade goods, like pet baits. So there are also a lot of handmade items at the for pets, but it's mostly accessories. So our things are mostly beds and mats, like pet mats.
Like pet beds and stuff.
Yeah, because not a lot of people make pet beds mm-hmm. in Malaysia. Yeah.
How do you decide how to price your items? Because it is handmade, so mm-hmm. you can charge a premium for it that's more expensive than the other products. But then if it's too expensive, then people are just gonna go for the mass manufactured beds and mats and stuff. So how do you decide like how to price it?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, we do get questions like this also before that. Like some people, they would complain and say, why is it so expensive? I'd rather buy from China, you know? Mm. So we tell them, well, it's because of the fabric that we use also. Mm-hmm. It's premium fabric. We use upholstery fabric, so it can last longer. Then also the fillings that we put in the bed, it's very generously filled. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't go flat over time. So when it comes to price, we cannot price it, more than the pet store, because we also want to make it affordable for more people so that more pets can also enjoy our product. So yeah, we have to be balanced lah. Like we check out the pricing for pet shop and also online shop, and then we try to price ourselves in the middle.
And also to make sure that you have some profit from the product, right?
Yes, that's right.
So what kinds of challenges are you facing at the moment with Taming Wild?
I think it's because I have to do everything myself. I have to sew, and then I have to create contents for my social media and update the stocks and also the accounts. So it's very difficult for me to divide my time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do get like very exhausted, but if I stop, then I have nothing to sell because I didn't make anything. I didn't sew anything. So I would say that is very challenging, like that part.
Do you plan to hire anyone to help you with the product making?
At the moment, no, because the things that I make, I sell, it's not very expensive. So the profit is not a lot as well. Mm-hmm. So still cannot hire people. Yeah, in the future, yes. Maybe to get someone to help me sew as well. Yeah.
Okay.
I was actually thinking of teaching my mom, but then, you know, then the MCO hit and I can't teach her.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yep, yep. So I think a good way to sort of cap the interview would be to talk about expansion plans. Like, what do you have planned for Taming Wild? You know, just like growth plans. How do you want to expand? What do you want to do next?
So I actually wanted Taming Wild to be a platform where people can get all the daily essentials. I mean, like lifestyle products for their pets. So like beds, bowls, food, not so, because I still feel that home-cooked food is healthier for the pets. We won't be looking into pet food yet at this moment.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe in future we change. We plan to grow on our bedding part. So maybe we have pet beds, blankets, pillows, stuff like that. All the comfortable stuff for pets.
Okay.
Because like when I think of Taming Wild, right, it always reminds me of my dog. Mm-hmm. So he left when he was, I mean, he passed away when he was 17 years old. And quite a senior dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wanted more senior pets to enjoy like their final years. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, like some people, they don't want to adopt senior pets because they're old and they think it's a nuisance, but actually they are just like human. Just need a place to retire and enjoy lah. So yeah, that's why I decided to just focus on the bedding part, the comfortable part, I mean the comfort part.
That is so sweet to know. Sorry about Brown, but then you said 17 years. I'm sure he had like a really good 17 years. And you're right, it is a very senior age for a dog.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, and it's so nice that you want to make these products for other pets to enjoy their senior years. It's a very sweet sentiment.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Yiwon, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Right, that was Eng Yi Won. She's the founder of Taming Wild, which is a boutique brand that makes products for pets, mostly bedding and comfortable accessories. And she also helps the animal welfare and stray rescue community by sort of sending a portion of the revenue to those causes. Check them out at taming-wild.com. You can stream this interview again via podcast on the BFM website or the BFM app. If you have Spotify or Apple Music, we are there as well. This has been Arvind Yuvaraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.